The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Joining us now, Patrick Dineen, professor of political science, University of Notre Dame, and author of Why Liberalism Failed. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm a little worried. I teach at a Catholic school right now.
Right. Yeah, so we'd had this discussion about a softball coach who was fired because she wanted to get married to a woman. She had come out and the school fired her. And we had the discussion. And I've said, this isn't so much about faith as, you know, you're right as a business to say we want people to reach certain standards of what our philosophies are.
Right. Now, in fact, that's in some ways what you're talking in some ways about what my book is about, which is about, in some ways, the difficulty increasingly of thinking ourselves as anything other than individuals and sort of our rights as individuals. And the difficulty that people have increasingly of thinking of themselves as parts of something bigger than themselves, whether it's a family or a community or a church or even the nation today. And so we're faced with this kind of difficulty of the thing that we're supposed to be, which is free individuals, is now making it difficult for us to think of ourselves as something something together, something common.
Well, it's frustrating because the idea of rights has really been misunderstood. There are a lot of people out there, a lot of special interest groups, many people on the left that believe they have a right to, and you fill in the blank, and what it really comes down to is me or you doing something on their behalf, treating them a certain way, or must do something, as opposed to you have the right to pretty much live your life.
Right. No, it's fascinating how a lot of claims to individual rights end up increasing the power of the state.
Right.
That, this thing that's supposed to be right empowering me actually makes me in some ways subject to this great and straddling power. And so we see simultaneously claims about individual rights and the growth of the state everywhere that we look.
So when you say why liberalism failed, are you talking modern liberalism or classic liberal?
Well, in some ways, I'm indicting the whole project, the classical form and the modern form, only to the following extent, that the classical liberal vision introduces this idea of the liberated self, the free, unencumbered, unfettered, self-making individual. That's kind of the state of nature human being. And now we're to the point now where we have, as we were just saying, we have now massive structures, including the state, science and technology, even the market, that are all kind of, you could say, exist to make us into those human beings. But now that we have been made ourselves into these human beings, it's really difficult for us to run a political society and even to say that we're going to form families and have children and got to create a future generation.
I know there are people on the right who are really working against people on the left. And there are, I would say, most of the people on the left are clearly working against everybody on the right. But there's a lot of us that are on the so-called right that are actually working for the rights of all people. The things we discuss actually protect and help those people on the left and a lot of the things that they're upset about. They just don't get it.
Yeah, no. So I think that there's what you're describing. We're also locked into these partisan teams right now. It's
right.
Very difficult for us to think outside of them. To think really in terms of the common good is really to think beyond partisanship. And of course, our founding fathers were fearful of us becoming too partisan. That they even feared political parties. They didn't put parties into the Constitution. But it's reached the point now where, in many ways, the parties in both of their forms, both in the left and the right, are advancing this vision and this idea of the human being as this individuated self that ends up damaging and undermining the common good. So I think that in the deeper sense, to be, as you're putting it, someone on a conservative, someone who seeks to conserve what America is to think of oneself beyond party in some ways.
So what's the solution? What puts us on the right track? How do we say we're going to get back to a place of personal freedom, personal responsibility, and accountability?
In the book, I suggest that we should begin thinking in ways that go beyond politics. And I realize that sounds odd. I'm a political scientist. I think we focus so much of our attention on voting and getting things right in Washington, D.C., that what we tend to overlook is the desperate need to repair the family life that we have in America, the community life that we have, the kind of extended network of relationships that we have. It's kind of a throwback, I guess, to an earlier time when you could think that your kids would go out and play in the yard and play in other families' yards, and they would they would be raised in a good way by the members of your community as well as yourself. And I think we're all very fearful, among other things, to let our kids out because we're afraid of what our culture will do to them. So we really need a kind of repair of our culture, and that's much harder than winning an election.
Well, and that has a lot of impact. You're right. It's culture and it touches everything. But also then when you're talking those people in D.C., to paraphrase John Adams, I mean, with our style of government, with our system, you have to have good people there. It's garbage in, garbage out.
You definitely need good people there. Although, let's remember, our Constitution was designed in some ways to put up with bad people as well. I think part of our problem is that we focus so much of our attention on Washington, D.C., and that's a problem of our political system. We have to acknowledge that that the Constitution was never designed to have all of the action in Washington, D.C. But we can play a role in that, which is to say we're not going to focus all of our attention and all of our discussion and all of the great debate of our time over issues in Washington, D.C. There are things we can do close to home. And I think if we repaired a lot of those things closer to home, Washington, D.C. would fade at least somewhat in importance. It would be we'd be doing a lot better in our communities, our families, our churches, and so forth.
Over the weekend when we saw the backlash against the NRA, I was very frustrated by all of that. And I'm frustrated that so few people understand personal freedoms and accountability and responsibility. And then I realized something else. We are failing because we do not appreciate those differences of our fellow Americans. That not only, I mean, we're hating on them and we're just screaming at them for everything. But we should be able to appreciate them. We don't have to agree with lifestyles or certain things, but there are things from liberal Hollywood that I can appreciate. Some of the product they put out. Not the preaching stuff, not the conversion stuff, but the stuff that calls questions, calls certain things into question, says, what about this? These young kids who are clearly missing the boat about gun rights, the hog kid and the other out there, that, yes, you are supposed to be a part of this conversation at 16, 17, 18. But what you bring to the table at that age is youth and optimism and a desire to change for the better.
Right.
What we bring is experience and knowledge and saying, okay, but don't do it that way, hog kid, because you're going to screw this up because I've been there. In other words, we're not appreciating the things that make our fellow Americans different and what they bring to the table to make the collective better.
Yeah, I think this is an enormous problem. And again, part of what I'm suggesting is that good politics begins with good conversations that we have in our communities. It doesn't begin with us yelling toward Washington, D.C. And so democracy isn't just something we do in a voting booth. It's something that we do every day with our fellow citizens. And one of the great problems we face today in America is radical sort of geographic separation, especially the partisan separation that we see today. But look at the map of America when we talk about red and blue states. It's really blue cities and red America. I live in a part of the country. I have a fishing cabin out in the wilds of Indiana. And when I hear guns going off, I'm not worried at all because I know it's my neighbors practicing in their target or it's hunting season. But that's a very different experience than if I'm in South Bend, Indiana, a city, and I hear gunshots and I know now I have to be worried. So we need to be able to speak to each other and know and understand the differences of our experience. And that simply is not happening anymore. And that's profoundly un-American, it seems to me.
So I have a quick question. You were talking about the geographic and we're yelling at Washington. And do you think that, especially with the technology we have now, that we as the people should be demanding that our politicians come home from Washington and they actually work within and amongst their constituents and meet over Skype or go to D.C. every once in a while? Because once you get in D.C. and these career politicians are there and they're just stuck there and they all start kind of thinking the same and right, working the same. And then you have no variance and it continues to be this the people yelling at Washington, the people in Washington kind of yelling at each other, talking past each other, over one another. And then that trickles out into our daily lives, where then we feel that we need to just yell louder and louder for what we think without actually engaging in conversation. But I kind of feel like if the politicians were working with the people they're representing and around the people they're representing instead of other politicians, or working with other politicians every day in and out all day. I don't know. Do you think that that would have a positive effect, and that that's something that we should be really working towards as the people to bring our politicians home?
Yeah, that's a great question. I used to teach at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and I left Washington in part because I just found it to be kind of an unbearable place to be. It's a beautiful city and it's wonderful, but the kind of people who live there are all the same. It doesn't matter what their political party happens to be. I mean, the founding fathers put Washington, D.C. in a swamp so that the politicians wouldn't want to stay there. And then we made that swamp really nice and invented air conditioning. And now now they want to stay there. But, you know, the politicians, they do come home. They come home at least during breaks in Congress and so forth. I think one of the real problems is the permanent bureaucracy, which really does in many ways run this country. And I've been suggesting for a number of years, you know, with the digital age and communication that you've been talking about, there's no reason why we have to have every federal agency now in Washington, D.C. And so I would suggest one thing that President Trump could do pretty quickly with a stroke of a pen would simply to start to put some of these agencies elsewhere in the country, move them out of Washington, D.C., and let's break up the kind of monopoly of the bureaucracy in this geographic sense. And have people interact with other parts of the country and not simply all live in the glittering, wealthy city of Washington.
Professor of political science at the University of Notre Dame and author of Why Liberalism Failed, Patrick Dineen, thanks so much, buddy. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you. This was terrific.
Have a great day. And what we'll do is we'll tweet out a link to your information in the book so hopefully people can check it out.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.